Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
First, I want to go to Philip Ryan, who's political editor with Independent Newspapers, to talk to us about what's likely to happen over the course of today. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Claire.
Our own Paul Cunningham saying this morning on Morning Ireland that it is likely to be around the 9 o'clock mark when we hear from an Taoiseach what the decision is going to be on these increased restrictions. Does that tally with your information?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts today. There's a cabinet subcommittee due to meet in a couple of hours around midday. I think the leaders of the three parties might meet before that. And then after that, there's going to be a full-on cabinet meeting, which I think there will be a lot of debate had at that once all the ministers get a look at what has been recommended for the next move towards additional restrictions.
So you don't expect the cabinet meeting will just be a rubber stamping of the decisions that have been taken earlier on in the day. You're thinking and you're suggesting that all of these measures will be teased out in full this afternoon.
There's a lot of debate to be had here, and this isn't something that's been broken down along party lines. There's no political ideology behind any of these restrictions. It's more to do with the impact the decisions are going to have on people's constituents. And remember, a lot of these people are new into departments, so they've got a better understanding of how the restrictions will impact their areas, whether it be transport, sport, tourism, any of those. So you're going to have a direct knowledge of how devastating this can be, and that's going to taint your view. And all that will be put into the mix before a final decision is made.
So where are the contentious issues then? Is it on the travel restrictions? Is it on schools, restaurants, and which businesses are essential and which should close?
Yeah, those are some of the debates. We can break it down into three categories, basically. What we know is that restrictions are coming. What we know is you can almost be nailed on, will remain open no matter what restrictions are introduced. And that seems to be schools, creches, construction, and possibly manufacturing companies as well. Where the debates are going to be had are around, like you say, the travel restrictions. Is that going to be the level 5 travel restrictions, which is 5 kilometres, or is it going to be a little further than that? Is it going to be 10 kilometres, 20 kilometres, or perhaps there won't be in this instance. There's huge varying views on that. And then you move on to the other aspect of it is when do you actually put these measures in place? If you're shutting down every retail shop in the country, or you're shutting down every pub and restaurant and only allowing them to provide delivery and takeaway service, are you going to make them do that tomorrow morning? Or are you going to give them a bit of a lead-in period to prepare and get their houses in order before they do that?
Okay, and then the other issue which has been raised is this ban on evictions. Is that likely to be in there as well, Philip?
The ban on evictions will coincide with any travel restriction. So if a 5 kilometre, 10 kilometre or 20 kilometre restriction gets brought into law or into these new recommendations, then the eviction ban will kick in. And that is the hope anyway, the eviction ban will kick in. This is to stop people moving around the place. That was the original reason behind the eviction ban when it was first brought in at the start of the pandemic. And that's the reason why it'll be brought in this time around as well.
What about sport, Philip? Lots of talk about the GAA championships. What are you hearing?
The one aspect of this entire new restrictions that they're trying to have included in it is some bit of good news to ensure there is public buy-in, to ensure people are behind this plan and to have something for them to look forward to over the coming month. And the GAA, the championship, would be hugely important. Several across parties yesterday, people were saying, ministers and advisors, that it was important to keep the championship going in some sort of form, obviously behind closed doors. Horse racing would be another one. The national hunt season is kicking off, and it'll be important to keep that going again behind closed doors. Greyhound racing might also stay open.
I just wonder where it leaves the levels and that whole framework, because it is confusing now if we're moving into a level 4, level 5 melange of measures. Does it make a mockery of that whole system?
Well, the system was originally put in place, and this was a lot of the backlash that I think the chief medical officer endured when he suggested jumping from 3 to 5, that the plan was put in place that it's used as a ladder. It's a gradient. You go up, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in that order. As we've seen, that hasn't always been possible. And as data and epidemiological information emerges, it shows that you have to go. There's certain things that need to be taken from one from the other. And that's what you're going to see today as well. There's the political impact of this too. Do you go with the level 5, albeit a watered down version, and then it allows the government to say, well, we followed NPHET's advice, so We're not as culpable possibly for any repercussions that may happen down the line, or do you stick with your plan and go 4.5 or whatever, and then you're able to say, well, we stuck with our plan and we're sticking with this because this is how, this is our roadmap, this is our plan for living with the virus.
But you can't look at the nice graphic of the levels. You know, if this is what's going to happen, if we're going to be somewhere between two levels, you can't look at that and know exactly what rules to follow anymore.
No, it's more pick and mix now than it is gradient, it seems. And all those boxes and squares, you can move them all around the place like jigsaw puzzles. But in the end of the day, it is about fitting the best case scenario for taking into consideration all the public health concerns and economic and societal ones as well.
OK, what about this household bubble moves to make like New Zealand on this one?
Yeah, so at present we are banned from calling into anybody's house. There's we're not supposed to be doing any household visits unless it's for compassionate grounds and to do with medical care or people grieving. So that seems like a bit of a blunt instrument and a little bit unfair on people who are especially in isolated areas or living in isolation or have medical problems. So what they want to do is introduce a system like New Zealand, where you have your household visit, you have your family or whatever your situation is, but you can add to that. You can add an extended family member, or you can add on someone in isolation or someone who needs to give care. So it's about making sure people, for all different scenarios and different reasons, are living on their own. You could be a single mother, you could be an elderly bachelor. And it is to make sure you have some sort of lifeline, some sort of support in the community as well.
Mm-hmm. Although some might say that would give people, some people who are inclined to, an excuse or a way around the rules. You know, you could start bending the rules and say, well, I'm in a bubble with that person. The other family's in a bubble with somebody else. And how would you even question that or get to the bottom of what's right and what's wrong there?
That's a good question. I don't know, is there going to be a national bubble list where we all have to sign up to name who we're in bubbles with? But I'm sure with a lot of these measures, they're relying on public to play along, to buy into these things and to follow the rules. And as we've seen over the last few months, some do, some don't. And it's about getting as much as you can as possible to adhere to them.
And Philip, it's been mentioned in the past that, you know, if we were looking at level five, that we would be among the strictest rules in the EU if we were to go to level five. Now, it's not looking as though we're going to go quite to level five, but somewhere between the two, as you say. Where does that leave us on the league table of restrictions?
This is the thing. Measures have been introduced across Europe. There's new measures in France, Spain, Italy, but none of them are as severe as what is even being considered in Ireland. And that has been a concern over recent weeks within the government, that Ireland essentially will become an outlier and become, after Israel, the only country who really goes into a second lockdown, because that's essentially what we're looking at here. And the implications for that, there may be when it comes to Europe, around lending or when we're getting supports from the EU or the ECB. And then there's the international markets. They will look on us going, well, what's the situation in Ireland? Why are they enforcing so many rules? And that'll have knock-on consequences. People will say, well, shouldn't public health come against the markets? But the markets are the ones who is where the borrowing is coming from to fund all the supports for the public health measures.
Okay. And what is the answer to that question? Why are we considering restrictions that may be tighter than those that are being put in place anywhere else in Europe?
That has been the case throughout, it seems. We have taken a very strong view, and the chief medical officer is very conservative in what he believes, and the National Public Health Emergency Team is very influential in deciding these things. You can see from the public comments from ministers and others that there is some backlash within towards them. But at the end of the day, there's the political decisions of it. If things get worse after you ignore the public health advice, that comes back on you as a politician.
Philip, thank you very much for that. Let's wait and see what's going to happen. But those who are really waiting and seeing with their fingers crossed and everything else, no doubt, are people who own businesses who will be impacted. And I want to talk to some of those people now. John Burke is owner of the Armada Hotel at Spanish Point in County Clare. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Claire.
How are you today?
Good. Well, as good as can be, I suppose. A bit like the weather outside. It's gloomy and dark and miserable this morning, and I suppose that's a little bit of the sense of what it's like inside the hotel as well.
Yeah, but you've had a couple of days now, I suppose, since Thursday, really, to think about how this is going to impact you. And regardless of whether it's four or five or somewhere in between, it's likely that you'll have to close your business.
Yeah, you're 100%. We can operate to some level at level 3 and at level 4 and beyond, our rooms are closing. So, you know, rooms are the bread and butter for any hotel, and you know, we can operate some element of takeaway, but I mean, we're not really operating as a hotel, and nor are we able to sustain the jobs once we start adapting to the takeaway business, which we will do. But no, look, effectively, when the announcement comes at whatever time that kicks in, the hotel is going to have to close its doors.
Were you able to keep all your staff on under level 3, John?
Yeah, it was a huge challenge, but we retained all 90 jobs that were here. You know, a lot of people were taking some holiday time, and we had, I suppose, still about 70 or so people that were working throughout the week. We operated Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, attracting people from County Clare. We're lucky where we are on the coast in Spanish Point here, and there was enough business to kind of keep things ticking over and sustain the jobs, and that was the big objective of level 3. And I suppose when we get back to level 3, that'll be the big objective again, you know, keep the people employed and keep the show on the road.
And have you had the chat with your staff about what's likely to happen?
We've had a lot of conversations here internally with, I suppose, the people who are crunching the numbers and trying to adapt their own departments, I suppose the department heads. I've spoken to a number of the team on the floor yesterday, just to try to, you know, gauge their mood and their sentiment about the whole thing. We're waiting for the official announcement to kind of have our own official announcements here.
Mm-hmm. But if level 4 happens, I mean, you're not going to be able to keep, I would imagine, 90 people on your payroll, John.
No. It's impossible. Look, you know, there's no big decision to be made on that, unfortunately, albeit the hardest decision we can make in business, but there has to be layoffs. And, you know, the last time, without a doubt, that was the, you know, those were the hardest discussions, conversations and moments that I've ever gone through in business. And that's what, you know, we're facing into again. And it's a highly emotional time dealing with that. You know, these are, you know, 90 people come from 90 households that some may be reliant on them. And, you know, some of our employees are students, and, you know, they're as reliant on this as much as sometimes as much as, you know, an earner within the household. So it's a very emotional time for me and all the team here. But, you know, we're going to try to hope that we see an end in sight. If this is a 4-week period, we're going to come back out fighting after a couple of weeks. And, you know, with the wage subsidies, it's given us a huge boost to try to support people and get people back to work. So look, if, for example, Claire, this was a 4-week period, and I suppose that would be our big hope and our big demand and request would be that there is a time limit on this. And speaking to some of the team yesterday, you know, I think people can take an element of a setback, but, you know, it has to come to an end, and we have to allow the country to function and people to operate and live and you know, the impact of the mental health to the team and to each and every one. I mean, look, I can gauge the impact of my own personal well-being and mental health, and I know my team are the same. It's huge, and it comes at a huge consequence to the community as well. I mean, this is, tourism is a huge provider of jobs within rural Ireland. 7 out of 10 jobs are in rural Ireland. You know, on Spanish Point here, really, tourism is the main employer. And look, our communities have to get back. While we know COVID-19 is on our doorstep, we still have to try to live with it. And, you know, I think the government have done an outstanding job. I'm not critical of the government. But I, you know, I do hope that this comes to an end after 4 weeks, and okay, that we can get people back to work. And we will have them back to work within 2 to 3 weeks if we know this is 4 weeks. And look, you know, while I can't say that's easy for anyone, I suppose it's less of an impact to what 3 months was before.
And is level 4 plus, if that's what it is that the right call in your view, given what we've just heard from Philip Ryan there about measures being taken in other countries?
You know, I think if there's, I do feel that, you know, the government have tried to support business. And look, I know, you know, my industry representative group, and I know retail and so many others, I can say that this is, you know, has a huge impact, as it does. But, you know, I think the government have done a good job. And, you know, I look, COVID-19 is on our doorstep here. It's within my community here. If the health service is going to get overwhelmed, then something has to happen. If the health service isn't going to get overwhelmed, and if there's medication, and if the statistics are wrong, then we've got, you know, a lot of people that need to be held accountable. But let's take it at face value and what's being presented to us, and let's hope we're making the right decision on this to keep people safe. And while there is impact on so many levels, let's hope we get out the other side of this in a few weeks.
John, we wish you well. It's not an easy day for you and your staff. John Burke there from the Armada Hotel at Spanish Point in County Clare. Let's go to Wicklow now and to Grey Stones and the owner of Pretty Woman Boutique, Anne Tarpey McNally. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Claire.
This is another difficult day for you too.
It is indeed, yes. Just waiting for the news, I suppose.
And are you all stocked up for Christmas, or had you been apprehensive about getting in the stuff that you thought you might sell?
Well, of course we're apprehensive, but in our business, a lot of the ordering is a season ahead. So we would have ordered for our winter and maybe cut back a little bit because it was earlier on in the year and we knew this was obviously COVID was around then. So we wouldn't have been, I suppose, ordering as much. Mm-hmm. Party outfits, should we say.
Yeah, yeah. Although I did, I was saying to somebody, I was in a supermarket where they sell clothes over the weekend and there was quite a lot of sequins, which seems incongruous at the moment. But I suppose, you know, you had tailored your stock to be less dressy for the Christmas season, but still you had ordered in, as you say, because you have to do that in advance. Now you're facing closure. Will you be able to sell online, Anne?
Yes, we have a website which we set up during the COVID period with help from the Wicklow County Council, or not County Council, local authorities. And so that's set up, ready to go. And we also have Instagram and Facebook, which is quite active. So, I mean, we did a lot of selling through that during lockdown, and also we will be offering, hopefully, click and collect in a safe way.
Okay, and what, I mean, I know you've been chatting to people in Greystones over the weekend since all of this began Thursday night, Friday morning. What have other business owners and friends and family been saying to you about what's coming?
Well, everybody is very anxious, really anxious, and wondering how are we going to manage this? How are we going to survive? Christmas is our busiest time, and we were hoping, I suppose, to do some catch up on revenue that we lost during the previous lockdown. And like now we're faced with this, another lockdown for who knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety.
You were talking to your hairdresser at the weekend, is that right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And she was just completely devastated, is the word I can say. What are we going to do? Another lockdown, busiest time of the year for them as well. People getting, you know, their hair done for Christmas, be ready, but now it looks like she's going to have to close as well.
I'm just looking at messages here on my screen, Anne. People are completely ignoring the restrictions on visiting houses, and the "we are all in this together" message isn't being bought into by many anymore. I think any increase in levels will just be ignored by many. I mean, do you feel that this is a very unfair moment in the story of this pandemic? When, you know, I would imagine you, your shop, your business, and plenty others have followed the rules, and yet you're facing closure.
It feels very unfair in that we all abided by the rules that the government laid down. We restricted numbers in our shop to 2. We prepared, bought in hand sanitizers, obviously wore masks, etc., had screens, invested in those kind of things for our premises, and still we did abide, and still now we're faced with this lockdown.
Okay, Anne, well, we wish you well, and I know you have a website now for Pretty Woman in Greystones. You didn't have that pre-pandemic, so let's hope that that can keep you going in the coming weeks. Eamon Boylan is owner of Ronan CrossFit in Fairview. Good morning, Eamon.
Good morning, Claire.
We had a chat with you before here about how the fitness industry had changed. You're looking at more change now. What's your plan?
So, as it stands, we're doing our best to kind of digest the information. And we talked a little bit last time about interpretation, but in text it says gyms are closed at the moment. So, you know, it's kind of hard to work around that. With the talks of outdoors outdoor training made available in pods of 15. That potentially leaves us with the option of moving out to our yard. We have quite a large yard, which we're very lucky to have outside the facility. And, you know, we're thinking if people can train in parks, then hopefully we can get something going in there. And I've looked into kind of a nice, more comfortable option with like marquee, maybe with rolled up sides, and just to keep the general rain off the equipment and the people, and keep the show going outside, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's also costs involved in that, and that one of the big things would be the setup and stuff, and the timeline at the moment is so unknown. So again, it's just kind of going with the flow and see what happens. But trying to make plans. But I think regardless, the show must go on in some fashion, and if we have to go back to some of our online services, we'll do that too, you know.
The show must go on, Eamon, but you must be exhausted at this stage with trying to figure out, you know, how to keep going at various different levels and with various different restrictions. This has been going on now for a long time.
It has indeed, Claire. But you know what? Running your own business for 10 years in Ireland, it has been exhausting for many different reasons. And I've had a huge amount of drops and low points and challenges and you know, sleepless nights and all that. So I'm no stranger to it. And at this point in time, there's a little bit of me that feels like I'm on a mission. And, you know, our team, our gym, all of our people, they really need their fitness. And whether that's, you know, online, however we can support them, they need that. And I know a lot of my fellow gym owners are the same. They're giving everything to this, and it's their passion. It's what they do. It's their calling, you know, and it's the same for me.
And do you feel that some gym owners might be so fed up that they try to bend the rules?
There is definitely, I see a bit of online talk now about people like, I mean, talking about staying open during level four. I know there's people getting solicitors involved with kind of the legalities of what it would mean if you were to stay open. Is it a guideline? Is it going to be enforced? And you talked about enforcement earlier on. I think that is probably going to be a big thing across the board now with all of the new regulations or anything that's added on. Are they going to be enforced, and how are they going to be enforced? Because, you know, a lot of the gym owners, like, they're not just out for a fight. They don't want to just particularly fight the authorities. They're using the data that's out there. And, you know, UK Active published recently, it's like 0.3 in every 100,000 in gyms. Like, the cases are quite low from what we know.
Okay.
And we are offering health and fitness.
All right, Eamon, we'll leave it there, but the best of luck to you in the coming weeks. Eamon Boylan at Ronan CrossFit in Fairview. We'll have the Minister of State, Colin Brophy, with us after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
And I'm joined in the studio now by the Minister of State for the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Colin Brophy. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
I know you were listening there earlier on to some of our business people. Yes. Talking with Philip Ryan on from the Irish Independent. People are desperate for news. They're apprehensive and they're anxious today.
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely right. I think on every level, I think when you have such a major day, you will have people, particularly business people, who are wondering about the impact on their businesses, who are worried about the people whose jobs they provide. And there are people the length and breadth of the country who have that worry. I think the key thing to remember is that the government is meeting throughout the day. And I think we will have a very clear, obviously, statement from government this evening.
Do you expect that to be 9 o'clock, as we have heard speculation?
I think speculation on that is probably going in the right way. It'll be more determined, obviously, by the initial set of meetings which are taking place this morning. So the party leaders, in conjunction with some other ministers and in conjunction with, obviously, key people feeding into that, are going to meet this morning. There will then be a cabinet meeting this afternoon. I think as the extent of what you've highlighted in your programme today is that this is a very major set of decisions which have to be made, and obviously it is to get them right. So I think time-wise and timeline-wise, you probably are looking towards that timeline, towards this evening.
And is it right when we say that these measures will probably be between level 4 and level 5?
I think there will be a set of measures announced which will fall roughly within that area there. I think they will be designed to take account of the two primary objectives that the government will have, which is the public health measures which need to be put in place for safeguarding all of us and safeguarding our lives, and also taking account of the fact that everybody is very much aware on the number of other impacts that there are out there. There are mental health impacts, there are commercial and business impacts, there are all the things that we have learnt.
Domestic violence, child
domestic
welfare.
Violence.
And then on the
Absolutely.
Other side, we hear that we are going to implement, again, one of the most restrictive regimes when it comes to COVID restrictions in Europe. Why?
Well, I think what the government has always tried to do is to put in place a balanced set of regulations that actually try and strike the balance between what is important for keeping our country open and functioning and also what is important in terms of protecting public health. Now, I think that we've got that right. And I think that we will continue to keep that balance there. So, I mean, people will be critical of individual regulations and different countries will have individual versions of their own regulations. I think in Ireland...
You don't think we're off the scale then?
I don't. I happen to think that we've got the balance by and large right between trying to keep business open and trying to keep public health to the forefront. It'll always be an area where people will look at an individual regulation between one country and another and say, why are they doing that versus why are we doing it? I think every country has to chart its own course within that in terms of what works for it as a country, it as a society, it as a group of people. And I think we've tried to do that. And I think it is better to have strong, good regulations, have buy-in to them by everybody and have them work. And that's what we're attempting to do.
Here's a listener who is a teacher. I'm a teacher, and since schools are apparently safe, I'll be behaving in that manner in my own time as well, meeting people and allowing my children to mingle, etc. What do you say?
Well, I actually think that's a reckless comment. I have to say I'd be very disappointed. Look, people have to understand that your own behaviour has a huge impact on how everybody else is affected. It's not a case anymore of just saying, I can do what I want and it doesn't impact. It does. That impacts older people in society. It impacts people who have vulnerable health issues. It impacts people right across the board. And I would just appeal to anybody at all, regardless of what profession they're in, regardless of where they are, today to always remember, as we do every other day, that the primary way of dealing with COVID is the washing of hands, reducing your contacts, keeping your distance and practicing the safe etiquette around coughing and sneezing. Those are the things that matter. And yes, people have to work and people have to have contacts. But if you practice that all the time, that's the way you deal with COVID.
So we're going to say to people, stay at home, don't go to work. But we're going to say to teachers, frontline healthcare workers, quite clearly and obviously they have to go to work, construction workers and probably manufacturing, you all have to go to work.
Well, we're going to be saying it to an awful lot more people than that. I mean, remember, this is one of the things that I've been highlighting quite frequently, because sometimes you hear references to young people. There's an awful lot of people in retail. There's an awful lot of younger people who work in retail who have gone in every single day since March, who went in right the way through the middle of the last lockdown and ensured people were able to have groceries on their table for the purpose of feeding their family. So there's an awful lot of sections of society that we owe an incredible debt to, because they do have to go into work. They do have to provide essential functions to keep our country going so as the rest of us can get through this. But it is important to recognise right across the board, and most of those frontline workers are to the forefront in saying this when you interview them. I've heard you interview them on a number of your shows, that yes, I might have to go to work, but in my private life, in my social life, practice the key things that I've been talking about there, because particularly about reducing your contacts is absolutely critical.
How are we going to get buy-in? How is the government going to get buy-in for these measures? Because we are getting message after message. People are telling us that they are witnessing in their own lives that people are not adhering to the restrictions into social distancing. Colman O'Loughlin, intensive care consultant and president of the Association of Intensive Care Consultants, saying this morning that he has witnessed in his own life that whereas people used to avoid you if they saw you on the footpath, they now don't care anymore. How are you going to change that?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I think people will give anecdotal evidence of what they see, and we've all seen incidences of people choosing not to care. But likewise, I've seen many, many instances myself where people are choosing. And, you know, interestingly enough, when surveys are conducted of people's attitudes towards actual restrictions or towards the implementation of greater restrictions, there invariably is very widespread support for that. So you are seeing, definitely you are seeing, not as much a uniformity as we did last March, but you're still seeing, I think, a majority of people who want to do the right thing. I think even in terms of, I noticed this morning driving to RTE that there was a substantial dip in the amount of traffic and people that were out there compared to previous days.
So I had a different experience. I was nearly late for work because of the traffic.
Okay, well maybe we did it. I really surprised me as to how low it was.
But I mean, the government asked people to stay at home under level three, and Simon Harris said yesterday level three didn't work. And I think we could all see that with our own eyes anyway.
Well, I think there's no question, because we haven't seen the type of reactions we would have liked to have seen in terms of the figures to level three, that level three wasn't delivering sufficient reductions. So there's no question there will have to be and there will be enhanced restrictions out of today's meeting.
Do you have a view on the GAA championships, by the way, whether they should go ahead?
Well, I actually do think they should go ahead, primarily because I do think, and this is something we need to be very conscious of, I think, that there has to be something positive in people's lives and there has to be a balance. COVID is having a very large impact, I think, on the mental health of our country. It's having a large impact on the way we're all feeling about things. And I think as much as it is important that people do the things I asked them to do earlier on and people pay attention to the news and the information, we can't just live our lives in an entire situation where the only news, the only source of everything is the latest COVID figures. So I do think having something that provides, if it can be done safely, and if it can continue to be done safely, that provides actually a positive.
There'll be people listening to this going, I can run my business safely. I can run my shop safely. I can run my hairdressing salon safely. Allow me to keep trading if that's your view.
And I think, you know, and these are the things where there is no such thing as a perfect solution when you're dealing with COVID, because absolutely there are people all over the country who want, and they will look at their own individual business and say, I wish I could do it. But when you look at the overall impact of what you're trying to do, which is to reduce greatly the number of contacts which people have, unfortunately those restrictions are necessary.
And you believe that the restrictions are necessary now?
Oh, I do believe that, because I mean fundamentally at the end of the day, and I'm a pro-business person who was a business person all their life until they got elected in 2016 into politics, but fundamentally people's health and their lives are the most important thing.
Okay. Minister, thank you very much for joining us. That's Minister of State Colin Brophy. I want to go to Dr. Hannah Durand now, who is eye care collaborator and behavioural science researcher at NUI Galway. Dr. Durand, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Claire.
Do you think that the government can get public buy-in again like they did the first time?
I think the government has a real challenge on their hands. I think, you know, a lot of your speakers have already mentioned today that people are feeling fatigued. People are exhausted with all these restrictions they've been asked to adhere to for the last 6 or 7 months. I think we can get public buy-in, but the government needs to take a really strong approach here. They need to be consistent with their messaging. They need to highlight the impact that our behaviour is having on the spread of the disease. But importantly, I think we need to see the government leading by example. We need to see leaders wearing masks on television. We can't see our politicians making unnecessary journeys. And we also need to see investment in our healthcare system and also in small businesses that are likely to be impacted by these escalating restrictions.
So the public needs to see that the period of restrictions is being used well.
Absolutely. I mean, the World Health Organization has come out and said that lockdowns cannot be the primary form of dealing with COVID-19. Lockdowns are only to be used to regroup, rebalance and reallocate resources and to protect our healthcare workers who are at high risk of becoming burnt out because of the ongoing high levels of stress that they're forced to endure.
Okay. Hannah, we're expecting to see fines being introduced for the non-wearing of masks and for making non-essential journeys. That's expected by the end of the month. You had a chat with us before about this and you found that your research shows you that this doesn't work.
Absolutely. I think fines are not the best strategy to be taking. I think if you consider currently, adherence to these restrictions is really, really high. About 90% of people are adhering to these measures, at least most of the time. A lot of this non-adherence is actually unintentional. Think about it. If you forget to take your mask with you from the car to the shop, that's not a deliberate attempt to flout the rules. Is a fine really going to change that person's behaviour long term? No. What's better to do is to create an environment where adhering to the restrictions is the easy and natural option. So we need signage reminding people to wear their masks. We can have checkpoints and things like that, but I mean, trying to fine people is not likely to affect long-term behaviour. You might catch them on that one instance and change their behaviour that way, but I think fines are not the way to go to achieve long-term behaviour change, which is what we need.
Hannah, we'll leave it there for now, but I'm sure we'll talk again. Dr. Hannah Durand, Behavioural Science Researcher at NUI Galway. We'll be back with Brian O'Connell after this break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.